Good morning once again. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming. What a wonderful morning to just worship. I feel like the songs should just keep going. We can as well just sing and sing and then go home, right? And we'll turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll pick up from verse 26 where we left off yesterday. Let's read together, then we'll pray. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of a greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, is also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. Skip over to Luke chapter 2, first seven verses. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered according to his own city. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for gathering us here because you came. Lord, you step into the world that we live in as our King, as our Savior. Humble, you lay in a manger, unrecognized, yet you are our Redeemer, not even finding a place for comfort, yet you are our King, not coming to be served, coming to serve, and eventually dying on the cross for each one of us. Lord, we are forever grateful. That's why we gather. That's why we celebrate. That's why we exchange gifts. That's why we smile and rejoice. Lord, thank you so much for coming for each one of us. And thank you so much for just continuing to draw so many to yourself and saving so many to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After Gabriel, we saw yesterday announcing to Zacharias what was going to happen, the birth of John was going to happen. The angel departed, Zacharias departed. Zacharias was going to be mute, we saw that, until the baby was born. His work of announcing the coming of John was done, but there was one more announcement that needed to be made, the coming of the Messiah, the one for whom John would prepare the way. One mission is complete. The other is to approach Mary and inform her of what was going to happen through her and Joseph. In Galilee, Nazareth, Here is Mary and Joseph preparing for their wedding. They just can't wait to start their family. Very exciting time. Wedding parties in the ancient Hebrew culture would last days. I'm told up to 7 days. You think Ugandans celebrate weddings? The Jews did really celebrate. Days of celebration and eating and drinking and rejoicing because of the beginning of a new family. The angel tells her to rejoice. She informs her that she's highly favored. The Lord is with her. Blessed is she among women. This was a privilege that every woman would have loved to enjoy. Only Mary did. She's troubled. That is unusual. She's scared. Don't be scared, Mary. You found favor with God. God has chosen you. God has graciously chosen you to be the mother to the Messiah. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Joshua, Yeshua, speaks about his coming to save. God is salvation is that name. He will be great. We saw how the angel informed Elizabeth and Zacharias how John would turn out. I don't know about you, but sometimes we wish God would tell you the future of your child. Like, this child is going to be A, B, C, D. He will be great. John would be great. Jesus would be really great. One preacher said, no one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ, and there's not going to be any other influence upon history like Jesus. He says, is it not proven that he is great? It's proven conquerors are great, but he's the greatest of them all. Deliverers are great, but he's the greatest of them. Liberators are great. He is the greatest of them all. Saviors are great, and he is the greatest of them all. He will be called the Son of the Highest, the only one who has that title. The Son from the Highest, from heaven, from the Holy of Holies, from the heavens of heavens. He'll be called the Son of God. God in human flesh is what that means, Son of God. It's not a child of God, like some want to say, but he is the Son of God. He will be enthroned. He's going to inherit the throne of David. He's not just going to be enthroned and reign for a while. His kingdom will never end. And we're going to see this Christmas that Christ reigns. This is not just a baby, not any other baby lying in the manger. This is the King of Kings. I mean, you can imagine if this would have been arranged to be really the birth of a royal baby. Do you follow the birth and royal traditions of England? There's so much attention that is paid to this baby who's coming. There's so much announcement. There is so much media attention, and there's so much pomp. Think about the king. Angels made the announcement. Anybody gets born and angels make the announcement? Some of us are even questioned whether or not we are born. Like, where's your birth certificate? I don't need one, do I? Don't you see proof that I was born? He didn't need a birth certificate. The angels made the announcement. The whole world knew. The sky was lit. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords making a very simple entrance into humanity. You know how earthly kings make a pompous entrance into a scene. It is actually said to be one way they use to overload us nervously, and then we even forget about what we're thinking. You see the motorcade, you see the fancy cars, you see the military, you see everyone thinking, wow, this is quite impressive. You even forget that you're hungry. He makes a very simple entrance into humanity. And Mary's question, how is this going to happen? There's a difference between Mary's response and Zacharias. Zacharias said, you know what? No way, I'm old. Mary is just filled with wonder, like, How is it going to happen? What? I'm the privileged mother? Yes, you are. And I appeared to Elizabeth and Zacharias just a few months ago, and she has conceived, she's also going to have a son. And if Mary thought this was going to be difficult, think about hearing the news of Elizabeth conceiving. If God would do something completely impossible with Zacharias and Elizabeth, obviously he can do a lot more things that seem impossible. And Gabriel had to make her aware that, you know what? This is the greatness of God. An old barren woman conceived, and you, a young virgin, is going to conceive. He responds by faith. Let it be. She refers to herself as a maid servant of the Lord. We often forget how we are his servants. We've just been learning that. But you know what? If that's what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. If that is the privilege, if that is my service to the King, I am going to do it. I mean, how many of us would like to raise a king under our household, under our roof? And you know, this is going to be a king. Imagine, you know, the Queen Mother said, you know what? I'm going to choose a couple around the world, and when this baby is born, this future king of England, I'm going to give it to somebody to raise until the baby becomes a king. All right, who is it going to be? And then you get chosen in your heart, in your roof. I grew up sometimes with my mother. If I got in trouble with my father, I would run to my grandmother. And, you know, one thing that I enjoyed at my grandmother's place was the holes in the roof, in the iron sheets. And when it was a full moon, you could see the rays. It was beautiful as a child. I don't know about you, but I was like, wow, look at that. Interestingly, it would not leak under the rain. But imagine, whatever the environment is, you have a baby, and he is a king. And there you go. Please raise this baby. He is going to be the king, and not just any other king, the King of Kings. Man, we would do our best. We would wear our best clothes every day. Would treat this baby like, you know what, we never do anything wrong in front of this baby. All the attention would be paid to this baby who's king. You can imagine how Mary, and the Bible says, she kept certain things in heart, and I'm like, what? I have a king in my house as a teenager, as a full grown man, and there he is on the throne. Let it be according to your word. I'm just a servant. I mean, how many of us would reject that offer if a baby who is going to be a king is given to you to raise? How many of us would say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not created to raise babies who are going to become kings. How many of us would reject that? None of us would. It is an honor too. And the angel informs her that, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing, not one thing. And the angel left. I mean, think about Gabriel leaving. He must have been thinking, you know what? That was an easy one, right? I struggled making the other guy mute. This little girl just said yes to everything. And wow, what a brilliant girl. What an amazing girl. At Christmas time, we are celebrating a king. He's not a baby anymore. He's not laying in a manger anymore. He's not a teenager anymore. He is enthroned. Just as God promised, he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever and ever. He will reign over the whole earth forever and ever. He reigns across the globe. Now, you and I know how broken the world leadership is. I mean, would you point to one person and say, okay, as a globe, as the earth, we're going to vote and we want one leader. Who do you think would win? Just imagine we had a race, a world presidential race. Who would win? Everybody would vote whoever looks like them or thinks like them or whatever preference. I mean, it's just a matter of preference. I prefer that one to that one, and that's it. We also know how this world leadership has completely failed over every generation. We're also living to see how world governance is a mess all across corners. And we can only pray that God makes things better, but we also know that nothing is going to get better. We're not going to get a better leader anywhere. In fact, the world is going to vote into leadership a representative of Satan, the Antichrist. It may happen in just a few years. Recently, you had the announcement that, you know, the U.S. has declared that Bethlehem is the capital of Jerusalem. That is another inch closer to the formation of this world government. Eventually, there's going to be a peace deal between the Muslims and Israel. That is just one step, and you're thinking, what? This is happening in our side. Very exciting. And they're moving their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and you're thinking, wow, something is going to happen very soon that is going to fascinate us. The world is going to vote in an evil man to rule this world. But the psalmist says in Psalm 47, verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Amen? Amen. We can think that, man, we need to do something about it. There's nothing we can do. We try voting, it doesn't work, does it? It keeps getting worse. I mean, I'm glad we don't even have to vote until 2023. Hoping by then, we're like, oh, no, we don't even have to vote anymore. Like, everybody gave up. It doesn't work. I mean, God created governance. We created politics. And what a mess the world is in. And all of us, each one of us, everybody across the world craves godly governance. All of us do. When we see the brokenness around the world, we think, God, would you please raise one man to fix all this? He already did. Jesus already stepped in. He conquered the grave. He conquered the world. And he sits enthroned forever and ever. The psalmist again in Psalm 93 verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has guided himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Let's remember that Jesus is on the throne. He came in and he reigns. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. He wasn't off the throne and then came into the world and then went back on the throne. Before even the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, of Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. Can you even picture a creature like that? Any artists around, can you draw a seraphim? Six wings. Two covering his face, two covered his feet, and two flying. And one cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. You picture the Lord reigning in glory? Or we are just paying attention to the brokenness of the leadership of this world. It seems sometimes that You know, this world politics gets more popular than the fact that God reigns. Many people get excited when their candidate wins. And others, obviously, on their side mourn. But do we ever remember that Jesus reigns, that Christ reigns? In Isaiah chapter 9, after Isaiah seeing the Lord reigning in glory, after God promising a sign in Isaiah 7:14, a sign that he was with them and he is in charge of Israel and the whole earth, a sign that his faithfulness is going to come to pass. In Isaiah 9:6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Praise the Lord. Like he is shouldering all governance. Sometimes we think that he's not. Sometimes we think that this brokenness is because God is passive. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the Bible says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is going to happen. And in Isaiah's day, a child is going to be born. Obviously, the short fulfillment of this would be a king to replace Uzziah and all the others. But more than just a king of Israel reigning physically there, is going to be an administrator, a leader way mightier than just Israel wanted. He's going to shoulder the weight of giving this world the leadership that is craved after, that is craved for. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's mighty. He's everlasting. He's a prince of peace. And his government is going to be a peaceful one. There's one thing common about everything in this world system of governance: conflict and war. There is a continuous manufacturing of weapons, and you're thinking, what are these weapons for? Every nation is buying more and more weapons, and you're thinking, what are they going to do? I mean, what are they going to use these weapons for? Have you seen those really impressive guns? You're like, what are these guys carrying these things for? You drive by and you're hoping, I hope this guy doesn't trigger because I'll be gone in a second. Even if the best of world leaders comes to power, even if we get the best president ever to rule over our nation, on the other side is going to be conflict. It's going to be strife. Endless strife. You know, sometimes we admire some places that have some form of better leadership. But is it really the best? Is it really what we really want? Like, okay, this guy is really good. He does these things. But man, when it comes to the other thing, there's always a shortcoming. Jesus came to fix all this. He came to reign and to fix the leadership problem that the whole world faces. It is going to be a reign of peace. In fact, that is only found in Christ's followers. Every other form of governance without Christ is characterized as conflict and murder. Jesus is going to come and reign in peace. In fact, he already reigns in our hearts in peace. The peace that the world cannot understand. He's going to come, order it, establish it with judgment and justice from time and that time forward evermore. Apart from strife and conflict that is in every form of leadership across the world, there is also injustice. Would you agree? Even the best of leaders in the world commits gross crimes of injustice. I even wonder why they give them immunity. Like, if that guy is off that seat, we should pin them down. You cannot do something and get away with it because you're the president. Nobody should. You know, it's all across the world. You cannot insult. You cannot say something that is annoying to the president, right? Yet the president is free to actually annoy you. He can call you whatever he wants to, if he doesn't like you, whatever it is. But you say something that he doesn't like, ask who, Stella Nyanzi, right? You'll be in trouble. There is so much injustice in every form of leadership, even the best that the world has. There's not going to be an inch of injustice in the reign of Christ. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Remind yourself of the fact that the reign of Christ is going to be completely, completely perfect. Amen? And that's what we desire. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're hoping for. There's going to be no injustice whatsoever. He is righteous and just. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when the wise men came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are no ordinary gifts. Do you ever have a baby and somebody brings you bronze? Would that be an ordinary baby? Would you be thinking, hey, why did you bring the bronze for? Imagine the announcement made to the shepherd and they run off, they find the baby. And in excitement, they're like, what a king! And they walk off having seen Jesus dancing and rejoicing. It's exciting when babies are born, but when people come to visit us when we have a child, I don't think they walk away dancing. They probably walk away exhausted from babysitting. Or at least they're scared away by the cries. They're like, oh, we've had this cry enough, it's time to go. The shepherds visited the king and they went away dancing and rejoicing. The wise men presented him gifts, royal gifts. Gold, his royalty. He literally had a golden crown at his birth, right here. And that crown is not going to go away. It is going to stay. In fact, we will remove, take off all our crowns, all our rewards, and present them to him. All of us will. And we appear before the king and he honors us. Well done, good and faithful children. Enter into the joy of the Lord. All of us will lay down our honor to him. Like we don't deserve it. Frankincense is a priest. Myrrh is destined to die. Sounds the complete opposite of the order of this world. No world leader of any caliber willingly gives their life for their people. Some will say they do, but truth is, just selfish interests. Just words. I hope that we would constantly see Christ on his throne. In the good and difficult times. In the sun and in the rain. When we see almost nothing ahead of us. When it's too foggy to forge a way forward. When we have no strength. When we have so much strength. When we have lots of food, we don't have any food. When we go through every season, may we be reminded that Christ is on the throne. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Amen. This is at the end of the Great Tribulation. This is when the Lord has destroyed every order of this world, from politics to economics to war to all sorts of disorder that we see. And everything is wiped out. Obviously, creating a new heaven, a new world, a new Jerusalem, everything new. But imagine the world is just smoking. All creatures and all the Christ-rejecting world perished. And all of a sudden, John hears the sound of a great multitude. You can hear the voice of a multitude. It's different to hear the voice of a great multitude. As the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings. And even the sound of one thunder is enough to scare us. Just one good blast. How about the sound of many waters? You've gone to some waterfalls, you've seen the and heard the sound of water falling off a cliff and hitting the bottom. You feel like if just a drop of that water touched me, it would sweep me down that valley. You feel the power. And they were saying one thing. Imagine a combination of something that sounds like many thunder blasts, a great multitude, and a waterfall at the same time. We can't even picture hearing something like that. And there's echoing one thing, hallelujah, praise the Lord, for the Lord God omnipotent, all-powerful reigns. Now the Bible warns that as we draw near to the second coming, there's going to be so much turmoil. There's only one thing that will keep us going and smiling and resting and sailing, the fact that God is on the throne. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Merry Christmas. Let's stand and pray and go home and eat. Amen. Lord, we do thank you so much for reigning. Thank you so much that your reign is our source of hope and strength. Lord, that your reign is the reason we gather here. Your reign is the reason for this season and for every season, oh God. And as this world continues to decay, Lord, just like Isaiah, may we see you seated on your throne, reigning in glory, unmoved. Lord, we long to live in that kingdom that is full of righteousness, justice, and peace. Through every generation, Lord, we live at the brink of war. We live with conflict around us and among us. We live hoping the next leader would be better, but they eventually fail. And thankfully, you are on your throne. And you're renewing us day by day. You're taking us home. Lord, this Christmas, may we rejoice, may we worship, may we celebrate, may we eat and make merry, knowing you are on your throne. You're looking down on us, you're watching over us, you're taking care of us, you're blessing us. Lord, you're using us, you're giving us strength and wisdom and skill. You're giving us all your sufficiency as princes and princesses, oh God. Thank you so much for stepping into our lives. We didn't even ask for it, Lord. We didn't even ask you to come. We didn't even request. All we did was run away and run away and run away. But you came. Much as it was in humility, in simplicity, in poverty, you are our King. You are our Lord. You are the King of kings.
And Lord of Lords, and to you, O God, we lay down everything and give you every honor that we can ever give. In Jesus' name, amen.